No, we know that God is intimately concerned and interested in each one of our lives. How beautiful it is. And we can see so many examples in Scripture that God knows intimately about individuals. God could say to Abraham, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and take him to the Mount Moriah, or a mountain that I will show you. He could talk to different judges and say, I want you to take that oxen that you have. And so God knows us intimately, the hairs of the head that we have. He knows all about us. God is not one who is indifferent, and we know it so much by Him giving the Lord Jesus for us, dying on the cross. But the world would say, no, there is no origin. It's foolishness to even to think of that. If I tell you I bought a new car, probably the guys would say, well, what did you buy? The first thing they would want to know, what kind it was. Well, I was a Ford. Ah, it's only a Ford. At least you would know that it came from a certain factory. Even things of material matters, one knows that there is an origin. How much more with us? Then the other philosophy that we have in the world today is that there is no destiny. And the Apostle Paul says, if there is no destiny, if there is no future, then let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. It's the life of an animal, the life of a dog. Thankfully, it's much more than that for us. We know that there is a destiny. No, in fact, as we have read, there are two destinies. And we need to make that choice here and now while we are here on earth. We have read that there is a place. The Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you. And He went to the cross. He prepared that place for us that we could be with Him. That was His desire. That we be with Him in glory. That we be with Him in His presence there in heaven. He did it at a great cost. We've sung about that. We heard about that this evening. And the world would say, no, that's not true. There is no destiny. And yet there is another destiny for those who refuse to accept the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And we read about that in Revelations chapter 20. That there will be that day of final judgment when all will stand before Him. And again, as we heard last night, everyone will bow before Him. And so, although the world says there is no destiny, they're wrong. They may say, well, are you trying to say to me that all of the other religions, that only your way is the right way? And then we say, no, it's not what we said. The Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Our neighbors who may be of another religion, another belief altogether, if they do not believe the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior, are in error and are on the road to hell. How terrible it is. And if you're still here, not having believed in the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's your destiny. There is a destiny. It's heaven or hell. And now is the time for us to choose. The men of the world today will say, no, there is no origin. There is no destiny. And then they would say that there is no right and wrong. There is no morality. For many, there is no purpose. And we can see it as we talk to many people around us. I was struck by a tract that's written by Grace and Truth Publishers that talks about Marilyn Monroe. She was an actress. She was, by worldly standards, a very beautiful woman. She was rich. She hobnobbed with the President of the United States. She had everything from a human point of view. And yet, one morning, they found her having committed suicide. There was no purpose for her life. And so it is. The world is empty, but the Lord has a purpose for us. He said that where I am, there ye may be also. He desires that we are there with Him in glory. But in the meantime, He desires that we live for Him. Is there a morality? Is there a way to live? Those in the world who would teach us that there is no origin, that there is no destiny, they would say that there may not be a purpose in life, or just what the Apostle Paul said, let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. They don't want to acknowledge the consequences that there is no morality. Many times they say that there is no real absolute, that there is no real right and wrong. And yet when we look around us in the world, there are tremendous injustices. They say that Michael Jordan receives more from Nike for advertising, for him bearing the name of Nike on his clothes. He receives more than all those in Indonesia who are in the running shoes factories working for Nike, making running shoes. One man, just for for propaganda makes more than thousands of people in these factories. Is this justice? Absolutely not. And many in the world today would say it's absolutely wrong. And so they say there is a morality, and yet they will not submit to God's morality. But what about us? There is a purpose. There is a morality. There is a destiny. And that's when we read in Peter here, he says, Since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming day of the Lord? What manner of persons ought we to be? When we who believe the Bible, knowing that it's true, when we know that we have an origin, when we know that God created us, and even in our mother's womb, God knew all about us and wrote it all down in a book. When He knew what would be happening in our life, He has a purpose for us. When we know that we have this destiny, this wonderful place in heaven, then what are we going to do? And we may know these things and we believe these things in our heart. We've grown up with them. Many of us who have grown up in Christian homes, we've become saved at a very early age and we've grown up with these things. But are they really an active part in our life? Is it a decision? How then will we live? Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? As we think of these questions about our origin, about our destiny, how we should live, about a morality, about our way of life, we need to have the Lord before us. He is the one who bought us. He is the one that paid the price for us. And when we end up in eternity, do you think God really will care that you've made enough money to have a BMW in the driveway? I don't think so. And that's the question that you have to put before yourself now. How am I going to live? How am I going to live? Knowing that this world will burn away, that this world will be destroyed in fire, that all that I have will be left behind. What is the motive of our heart? What do we want to do? As you have heard, you will go out into the hall and you will see what the Lord is doing in many parts of the world. Have you ever considered to say, Lord, is this something that you want me to do? Now, there aren't that many that go out 15 years old or 18 years old or 20 years old or whatever. But God has a desire for each one of us that we serve Him and that we live in such a way, thinking of eternity. When we go on a trip, we get out the map and we say, okay, here's where we want to go. Here's Grove City. What's the best way to get there? Let's not take the scenic route. Let's serve God in the way that He wants, because that's our heavenly home. That's where we're going to be. We're going to be with the Lord. But what are we going to do in the meantime? Are we here to enjoy ourselves? Let's eat and drink. We won't say for tomorrow we die, but yet many, many times we live in such a way that we believe that thought. Let's eat and drink for tomorrow we die. But afterwards we will be in the presence of the Lord, and how great it will be when He can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We can be faithful where we are. The Lord can use you where you are. He doesn't need you. God doesn't need anything. He is sufficient in Himself, and yet He deigns to bow, to allow to you to be used of Him, to serve Him. What a privilege it is. And so what are your thoughts? Why did you go to school? What course are you taking at university? Is it so that you can have a secure job? So that you can become this profession and make lots of money? Or is your motive really behind it? Lord, I want to serve you. You can be a nurse and can serve the Lord in the hospital here in the United States or in Canada or in Europe or on the mission field, wherever it may be. If that's your purpose, that's wonderful that it would be that way. Whatever it is, may it be that we can say, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in holy conduct and godliness? Is this the motive of our heart? There is an origin. The Lord made us. There is a destiny. He's coming for us, maybe today, maybe tomorrow. We're not sure. But in the meantime, He wants us to serve Him for Himself, not for ourselves. It's not, let's eat and drink for tomorrow we die. Let's serve Him with all our heart as He would desire, knowing that all these things will be left behind, that all these things which are so important to us in many ways will be burned. May we serve Him with all our heart. May that really be the desire, the question that we have, as we said in our last hymn, I want to serve You. Lord, how can I do that? The Apostle Paul said, Lord, what wilt Thou what do You want me to do? What do You want me to do for You? May that be the desire, the question that each one of us has in our heart every day.